Blog Talk Radio.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Discharge in that war.
Serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Shalom, 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 family.
Bless you all in the wonderful name of our Master and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. I pray all is well with the righteous. Hopefully this evening, Blog Talk is working right. Hopefully I am coming in well. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Yah. I got a 10. Hallelujah. It's about time. It is about time. Well, bless Yah. Bless Yah, oh my soul. Well, hallelujah. Well, bless Yah again. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Oh, bless Yah. Welcome to another edition of Blog Talk Radio. I'm glad we're able to continue considering Blog Talk's technical difficulties over the past month. It's not been on our end. It's been on their end. And hopefully they will give reparations to all those times where we missed broadcast. So, and they well should give reparations. Hallelujah. But beyond that, we're very grateful, very thankful to be here again this evening. This is your host this evening, Teacher Shane, on this edition of Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good that I'm coming in well. Bless y'all, all that is, those that are gathered here, the few. But that's the word. Hallelujah. I hope everyone has had a fruitful and good day. I hope that a lot was accomplished, that whatever we did, our hands were blessed, and whatever our hands did, it was blessed as well, and it should be among the righteous. Hallelujah. We should strive each and every day, each and every day, to get better, to mature even the more, to wherever we find our hands, our feet, our mind, our eyes, our ears doing, it's always into our Master, the one that bought us. And it's a great privilege to be walking under the shadow of his wing, to be in his care, knowing that he is supplying all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Not riches on the earth. You know, a lot of people are down here and living miserable lives because they sought out the riches of this world. Even though they might be monetarily rich, spiritually, they're in utter poverty. Their health is failing. Their mind is awry. They don't have the true wealth that we have. They don't have wealth laid up for them. They don't have wealth that thieves cannot steal, and moth and rust and all that cannot corrupt. If we really understand who we are in him, as his dear children, and we learn it more day by day, and we really, really forget ourselves. And when you start forgetting yourself, you start actually seeing beyond you. You start seeing actually the bigger picture. When you forget self, there's an amazing transfer that takes place, an exchange. The more you forget about you, the more you learn who you are in Messiah. And it is true according to the word, those that desire to save their life shall lose it. But you lose your life for his name's sake, he said, you're going to find it. And how many people actually stay on the straight and narrow to actually find out who they are in him, not who they are in themselves? We've got this confusion going on in the world. There's an identity crisis going on. As the wicked one knows, he has a short time. He's the originator of this trans religion. As he was first, well, how can I put it in words? He rose up in himself and thought he was equal with Yah, actually thinking that he himself was Yah. I don't know what the word you can use, transtheo, but it happened in his mind first. So this corruption in his heart, in his being, paved the way for him being expelled, cast away, separated from his creator. Now here he is, this day and hour, in his rage and fit and hatred and envy and jealousy and everything that poured into his being. Because of being disembodied, being separated, he walks in death. Never to walk in light, never to walk in life. To truly understand the enemy of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And how Most High Yah has given you the tools and given you the abilities and given you the knowledge and the understanding how to guard the doors of your house. If you're truly trying to guard the old house that you used to live in, you'll daily suffer ruin. You'll daily be overrun, roughshod, raped, pillaged. But come to the point where you allow the word of Yah and the truth of Yah tear down you, to take away that first Adam, that he may establish the second. To truly understand you're no longer earthly, to know now that you're walking as a quickening spirit, because the spirit of Yah dwells in you, if for a venture of a truth he is in you and should be in you. This is paramount, saints of the Most High Yah. Definitely paramount. When we read the word, when we sit down at the master's table, let me reckon it and liken it to this. When you open in your word, you start reading, you start partaking of the lawful food, you start looking at the table that is set before you. Understanding it's your feet in open places, that you are freely there to eat what you want. If it wasn't for Messiah preparing that table for you in the wilderness. So I look at the word, you know, each day as our daily bread. Remember in the early days of Straightway, we used to have a lot, the pastor would minister, preach, teach in the mornings. We termed that morning bread. And it was good morning bread. And I am thankful to this day for all that bread that was broke among us day by day by day. If it helped mature us. If it wasn't for one man laying down his life. We know it starts with Yeshua first. And then we see his example. Then we have the propensity, we have the power to lay down our own life and to see that our life consists not of ourselves, but our life is now filled with brothers and sisters. It's filled with more than just you. What really defines you in this walk? Do you define yourself? Are your daily conversation with your brothers and your sisters? Are you letting that define you? When you're exhorted, admonished, reproved, whatever it may be. These are the things that define us in this walk as children of light. Because we got to let light shine. And I'm thankful for the light. If it wasn't for the light, you know, I would not be able to see myself. First and foremost, that's where it begins first, at the house of Yah, you. When the light shines and the word came unto you saying, and truth and love entered into your ears and you saw something within you that was contrary to Yah. When that word came into your being, how did you react? How did you respond? You know, it truly defines us. Many times we get to see who we are in the flesh. Many more times than we actually see who we are in the spirit. And we need to get to the place to where we are actually cleaving and clinging to the new man that is in us. Are we not tired of being a slave to the flesh, wearing the slaves, chains and fetters, neck braces, whatever it may be? Flesh does bring that about. Says work of the flesh, we heard yesterday. Envy. Envy. It's in. And it will buy deeply. Envy is a envy started with Lucifer. I will be like the Most High. Envy. It's what delivered up our Messiah. And all of us in this walk, all of us in this regeneration, we're not privy. Let's see. Well, we know envy. Not one of us can be excluded from the effects of envy. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. What kind of heart? A sound heart. That's both physically and both spiritually. But it says it's life, sound, a heart that's mature, a heart that is steadfast, a heart that is unfearing, a heart that is loving, a heart that is long-suffering and gentle and meek. Because a healthy heart brings forth a healthy body. and you do thrive. And you and a sound heart is very fruitful. So our Elohim is very deep. But even in the simplicity of Messiah, he can, with elementary things, elementary words and elementary meditations, teach us very deep things if we allow him to, if we just get our minds off ourselves. That's a veil in a lot of our lives, is you. You dealing with you. You truly come to the place where what truly gives place to the devil at any time is when your mind is on you. And you have to understand that this enemy of your soul, he knows. He can, you, without you saying a word, your body language will communicate to him when you are thinking about, when you are consuming yourself. And when you are in the consuming of yourself, then it gives him place to consume you. So if you receive the lawful food that our Messiah is bountifully cooking and preparing for us and laying out before us, as the table is set before us, because it's his desire to feed his sheep, to feed his lambs. Sound heart is life of the flesh. But it says, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. And we know when you look at that and like, the bones, if it wasn't for, really look at it simplistically. If it wasn't for the bones in my body, could I walk? Could I stand upright? Could my hands function? You really think of the core structure of your body. Just think of a house without 2x4s and 2x6s and 2x10s and all the wood, the main frame, the very thing that holds it and makes the main structure. Just think when you take that very structure from within, you think the outward is going to be upheld? Same thing with envy. It eats. It eats. When things go rotten, it just don't rotten all at once. It is a gradual process. And the more something is left to that rotten, the greater it perseveres. And the more it perseveres, the more that is eroded and the more that is stole and taken away. So you think about rottenness to the bones. When your bones start failing you, when the life of the flesh, this natural body, it's fed by blood, and the blood is produced in the marrow of the bones. When we start looking at envy to this level, that it's there, even though it's a thought and it's a, began as a thought, it's introduced by a spirit. We just really start catching the thoughts at the door and keeping the doors closed to occupants that should not be in the house. Because envy does start with maybe a few words. And the words may agree with what the eyes saw, what the ears heard. And these spirits, they work in tandem. And at that moment, next thing you know, you got another bit brother, another bit sister of the same mind. These familiar spirits, they're like big neodyne magnets, some of the strongest magnets in the world, but not stronger than these spirits that cling to one another, these unholy spirits, these unfruitful spirits. But really think, who really wants envy? When it says it has rottenness to the bones. I've been in houses where the structure was rotten and it was about to collapse. It had no strength. It had no stability. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, saints of the Most High God. I pray the word has entrance into your being. Then really approaching it from a religious stance. It's a set of rules and guidelines that we subject our flesh to walk in. And all the time, the flesh is still ruling because of your religious approach. Let us get beyond that. Let us get into the main crux of the teaching today. We're still in the book of Ephesians. We have been for quite a while now. And we're still in Ephesians chapter 5. About to get to a very pivotal part of Ephesians chapter 5. But there is, as I keep reading Ephesians, it's beautiful. If you get in the Word and you read maybe 2-3 verses and you stop there, and them 2-3 verses really have you captivated, really have you meditating, really have you salivating to understand, yeah, what you really saying here? What's truly going on here? And that's the way I truly look at it, because I don't like eating food fast. Not this kind of food. Good food, you most of the time you take your time eating because you really want to taste and really behold all the flavors. But the best food of all for our being is the Word of Yah. This is lawful food, the halal, which makes up our word hallelujah. Structure of our being, the true Word of Yah, which really feeds our new man, truly feeds and nourishes our spirit that Yah has put in us. Because he needs to be fed each and every day. I know that's a fact, and I know that's of a truth. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So may we this evening break some more bread amongst each other and taste the goodness of our Elohim. May he be knocking. You open the door, you greet him in, and y'all sit down at the table together. Well, hallelujah, that's a word, you know, here it is, and we're in the cool of the day, we're in the evening. Or y'all would like, you know, to walk and talk with us. Per adventure, you know, we'd allow him to. You know, hopefully we're not off in a bush somewhere hiding. So we think we're naked. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to start at verse 8, but we're going to just kind of pick up. I know last time we were in the same area, but now I'm getting ready to, in the same area, we're getting ready to expound a little bit more. to really show you, when you read the word, how you take your time with it. You truly absorb it. You'll let your body receive all the nutrients that it's desiring for you to partake of. We've been given a mind to consume so much other stuff. And when it comes to consuming the word of Yah and letting Yah consume us, we find ourselves between a hard place and a rock. So we used to be in consumers on our own accord, according to our own appetites and our own desires and dreams and ambitions. What does Yah want you to eat? What is the lawful food for the children of Elohim? Because in verse 8 it says, for you, and he's only talking to a particular you. Paul ain't writing a letter to the heathens at Ephesus. No, they would not understand this word. They would not be able to eat at this table. It would be like asparagus and okra and broccoli to them. You know, it'd be like a detestable food to them. And actually, broccoli, okra, asparagus, it's some awesome foods for the natural body. But now we're getting ready to partake of some greater food right here. This food is really, really, it's stood the test of time. I mean, Most High Yah, he has prepared such a bountiful table. He know how to spice it. He know what measures of this and what measures of that needs to be put into the recipe. Well, he didn't have to serve us, but it's his pleasure to serve us. It's his pleasure to feed us. It's his pleasure to clothe us. It's his pleasure to house us and to shelter us. It's his pleasure for us to get intimate with him. It says, for you were. If we really look at that were, that's past. For you were sometimes darkness. Ooh. When the word of Yah come to you and tells you, you in darkness. How we know we're going to be in darkness if it wasn't for the light? Think about it. The light of the word. But he's bringing us to reflection here. The light is loving us at this moment. The light is caressing us at this moment. Let it caress you. Let it talk to you. And when you read, for you were sometimes darkness and you stop. And you say, Yah, yes, I was. This is true, Yah. This is of a truth, Yah. I agree, Yah. I touch and agree. Then you can go on then. It's beautiful in this walk of light. The more years you walk in the light, how far it separates you from when you was in darkness. And sometimes throughout the day, the enemy might want to throw you a whammy of something that happened in your past. But you've been walking in the light so much, and you've been loving Yah to the point you've been praising and giving him glory and honor throughout the day. You've been reading his word. The devil wants to do a drive-by thought. You remember when you did this and you're like, did I? You've been so separated from it from the years of walking in the light. You look at that and you go, really? You going to tempt me with that? beautiful. The more you walk in the light, the more the darkness fades away. The word says, forget those things that are behind. And that's a beautiful benefit of walking in the light. Because the more you let the light mature you, the more you let the light nourish you, the more you let the light lead you and teach you and guide you, then where you used to be today, seems like you're 5,000 miles away from that now. 10,000 miles. You've done journeyed that far. You get to a place where in Messiah, you know, these thoughts, and you're like, they want you to turn back. They want you to stop in your forward journey and look backward, but you come to the point, you know, you've come to a mature place in your walk, a perfect place in your walk. It may stop you for the moment, but you, hell no, they'll keep going forward. That's where we need to get. It's where we need to be as the children of Yah. Well, you were sometimes darkness, but now, oh mercy. Yah, you said, I'm now? I don't see myself now like that, but Yah says now. When you start really receiving the new us, the new me, the new man that Yah sees. And he tells us so many times in his word how he sees us. When we get so sidetracked and so dark and how we see ourselves. Come on, we know we deal with it. We know we get our weaknesses thrown up at us. We know we have infirmities that the devil tries to bring guilt, shame, and condemnation. Well, that's his job. We're appointed to this. When you get to the point, you know, hey, there's no discharge in this war. I know this enemy is going to be throwing whatever he can at me from day to day. I get my mind into that state to where, yes, I'm in a war, and I have to take that stance that I'm an enemy of the one that rules this world. But I have light that, no, even though I am in the world, I'm not of this world. I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm just shortly here for a short time. I'm just passing through. You have your mind and your eyes and your ears on getting home. When you truly know where your home is, a lot of people, there's billions of billions of people don't know where their home is. That's why there is such disarray and confusion and everything. But the people of Yah, we are a people of good foundation. Yah has prepared a very rich field by a river for us to put our roots in. We need to be like trees planted by the waters. And as the song said, and because I'm a tree planted by the water of life, and my testimony is I shall not be moved. Song says, I shall not be moved as a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I mean, when these attacks come, are you going to sing that song? I think it's the best time to submit yourselves unto Yah. And start singing that song. I shall not be. Submit yourself unto Yah. I mean, what's the devil going to do then? He says he can't get no place with you. No interest, no nothing. He's got to flee. He don't want to hear them words. You remind him of his doom. Remind him of his destiny. Remind him that he has a place in hell with his angels. You remind him, don't let him remind you and tell you, well, you're going to hell. No, you stand back. No, you're going to hell. You're already there. It's a mindset, saints. It's a mindset that Yah is really trying to drill into us. Who we are in him. We are new creatures. And we truly need to embrace it each and every day. No matter what is thrown at us. We are here to suffer. But the suffering, the word says we're here to suffer for righteousness' sake. Do you want to get envious and jealous and suffer for unrighteousness' sake? Do you want to have cancer in your bones? But now, are you light in Yah? And now, being light in Yah, now you walk, 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 walk as children of light. Never really stand back and take a look at our walk. As an envious person, they walk a certain way. A jealous person walks a certain way. A depressed person walks a certain way. Their steps are so different. Their posture is so different. Just think of one that is trusting in their Elohim and in the power of his might. You look at a posture that is so upright, a posture that is confident. A posture that is strong. Some, you know, the people of the world may look. Look, he's so prideful. Look at him. He thinks he's something. No, but because you're walking in the boast of Yah, you're walking in the promises of Yah, you're walking in his word and his light, this would hold your head up high, that you're not ashamed. An envious person is shamed. A jealous person is shamed. An angry person is shamed. Their head is not held up high. It droops down. Their back arches. And their steps are not ordered. Their steps is not aright. Their steps is not in line. It's staggered. Really look at it, first that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. And when you look at envy as rottenness to the bones, you think that main structure, that skeleton of that body that's riddled with envy, how its posture is going to be? And that's how we discern? As many of us have been in so many posture positions when we were in sin, iniquity, and transgression. We knew the effects it had on our body, our natural body. How we walked, how we talked, how our strength was abated from us. How our feet were sore. We could not walk two steps. But as walking as children of light, being strong and walking for miles and miles and miles and not winded, knowing that your eyes is set on something beside yourself, that your eyes is looking on that prize that was set before you, you receive the word gladly, and your march is always forward and nothing is going to astray you from getting home, when you truly know where your home is, who you are in him, knowing that your name before you was even shot out of the matrix. Your name was before the foundation of the world in a book. And you was manifested in this time. It was written in the book for you to spring up in this time. In the chronicles of life. To be a witness of life. On the contrary, the occult does have a book of death. And I'm telling you, that's true. But walk as children of light. And then it goes on into a greater, it goes on into expounding now. You got a semicolon there. For the fruit, as you heard yesterday, you shall know them by their fruits, and you shall know yourself by your own fruit. Because if you have a sound heart, it's going to bring life to the flesh. It's going to bring life to your being, and you shall be fruitful. And if you're walking in the Spirit, then you shall have this fruit. We read yesterday, and the works of the flesh are manifest, which are clearly seen, which are clearly known, are these. works of the flesh. It means the body does this. And how is that body animated? A body animated by envy? A body animated by uncleanness? And lasciviousness, a body that's animated by whoredoms. Works. And all that is deemed unfruitful. Our Elohim, is that simple? Our Elohim, is that simple? To judge? Is it fruitful or unfruitful? Fruitful or unfruitful? And as being an agricultural people, you know, Yah has us in the increase. And I thank Yah for the increase. If it wasn't for the increase, then, you know, I would have not sought for a place to decrease in myself. So I can receive of the increase. I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want no works of the flesh. Something about fruit. Fruit is sweet. Fruit is delicious. The flesh of fruit is very delightful and tasty. Very nourishing. Very life-giving. Amazing in the beginning, all the trees in the garden bore fruit. You may eat of every tree. I am so thankful that our Messiah loved us enough to put that body of death, that body of sin upon that tree. That serpent hanged in. That serpent was there to beguile Eve. That same tree that Eve first partook of. And as we learn, then her husband did eat. And Adam's eyes were opened. Both the man and the woman. The serpent residing in that tree. And we've seen the glimpse of this when Moses was commanded to raise up a serpent in the wilderness when all the children of Israel were being struck by serpents. And it was admonished, you know, to tell the children to look upon this slain serpent. I've talked before, it began with a tree and it ended with a tree. So that the children of light can be partakers of the fruitful tree of life. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all, fruit of the Spirit. This is a nugget here. For the fruit of the Spirit. But now, I don't know if I want that fruit. You know, over here they got these cupcakes of jealousy and these Twinkies of envy and all this, you know, these very sugary items, you know, that very good to taste, huh? But not fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. To eat of this tree. To take the tree that was contrary to us out of the way. So that we can eat from the tree that was permitted for us to eat from. As it was told Adam, of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but that one that right there in the middle, that's not there to feed you. The knowledge of good and evil. It was an unfruitful tree that brought forth death. But they ate of the fruit of it. But were they nourished? And the eyes of them both were opened. As the serpent beguiled Eve, you know, I have this other light that you need to see from. This is how you truly need to see. See it. You know, the serpent says, see as I see. So he's speaking to Eve out of his envy and out of his jealousy and out of his whoredoms and out of his idolatry and all that is any work of the flesh. All the words of the serpent which proceeded out of his mouth toward Eve was there in that tree. But the fruit that actually Eve actually partook first, though, was not of the tree, but the fruit of the serpent. Supposedly fruit, huh? Because she hearkened to his words and did eat. How did she eat of his word when she ate of the tree that they was told not to eat of? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. All goodness, all righteousness, all truth. Fruit of the Spirit, this is what embodies, this is what makes the sweetness and the fullness of the fruit. Yes, we're able to eat of mature fruit. We're able each and every year to eat of the body and drink of the blood of our Messiah, the tree of life. It's his fruit that gets us from feast to feast, from day to day, from hour to hour, from minute to minute, from second to second. He's the one that truly nourishes us. When you really boil it down to the lowest common denominator, which is the highest, the Most High, when you simplistically draw it down, I receive the word, without him I can do nothing. To get to the point, you know, each breath that I draw is because of his grace and his mercy and his love. Because I can lay my head down on the pillow and raise it up the next day is because of his grace, love, and mercy, and gentleness, and meekness. Because he first loved us. And now I'm able to enter into that light and be partakers of that light and be able to reflect that light. And I say, that light's coming from me. No, he raised us. He raised us with such great and precious ornaments. Great jewels are we truly, when we truly see our real adorning. The adorning that really reflects him. That is our true clothing. That is our true essence. See, our clothing is of light. We're not like that wicked one, when the one that was arrayed with all precious jewels and he looked down at himself and saw his own beauty. I'm glad to forget myself. I understand that really in me there's no beauty, but in Yah there is all beauty. He is the one that beautifies me. He's the beautiful for situation, the joy of the whore. Great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised. So this fruit is in all goodness. His fruit is in all righteousness and truth. And in that we prove. We test, we examine, we scrutinize, we deem worthy, we prove what is acceptable unto Yah. And how would we prove it? When we express the word, when the glorious light of his life reflects from us. We are not the originator of that light, but we receive the light and we reflect the light so that all of us around us, the family of Yah, can see each and every one's light. That's why the word says, know no man after the flesh, but the spirit. This is the fruit that we share amongst one another as brothers and sisters. This is the fruit which edifies each and every one of us day by day. This is the exchange that we should be having amongst one another as we walk in the garden. Come eat of my tree. And we exchange fruits from each other's trees. And we enjoy the fellowship. We enjoy the courtship. We enjoy the love. We enjoy the communication and the friendship. This is kingdom. It's not the kingdom of darkness. This is the kingdom of light. And this is what we walk in. When we let the light truly show us who we are, then we could truly see. When we deal with things in ourselves and we overcome them, then we have light for others. Then we can reflect that light that we have received. When we receive truth, and we let it bring us to our knees, and we repent. And repentance is a realm of hallelujah. It's a realm of worship. We really don't really understand. Then when Yah gives us a place to repent, he's actually giving us a place of greater worship. This is what truly edifies him. It truly extols him when we deal with ourselves and take that out of the way, which is keeping us from him. Because he's a jealous Elohim, and he don't want nothing between him and his children. If he sees something in his children that is desiring to take them out of his hands, yeah, he's going to get angry. He's going to reprove. He's going to rebuke. He's going to admonish. His word will come forth in love and bring us to a place of repentance that we will get down prostrate and see, you know, that very detestable thing in us, and we're able to nail it to that tree and take it out of the way because it was contrary to us. And then we get up and we are refreshed, we're in peace, and then we walk in newness of life. We take the backstrap of God on our backside. And when we receive it, this truly tells us, you know, he truly loves us. Because he, you know, he's scourging us. He's got to. Because that's his love. It is extended toward us. That's his word. He proclaimed it in the beginning. And it will not fail to do what it was sent forth to do. We just got to be the willing servants, the willing and obedient children. Truly, let this truly shake our conscience and bring us into an awareness of who we truly are. So each day we prove what is acceptable as we read his walk and his talk. We read of the record how Yah is saving himself. And we read it, we receive it, and we walk in that light. And when we walk in that light, then we are partakers of the light and we reflect that light. And we wonder why, you know, we go out in public and we get all these strange stares and looks, you know, because they see something. You know, even though, you know, it might be a fleshly being in front of you, you know, acting weird and all that, but it's that spirit, that demonic spirit in them, which truly sees you for who you are. I know many occurrences, you know, back in early in my walk when I was running strong for Elohim. I used to take the Metropolitan bus. We called it the Big Mac. I used to get sometimes on the bus and sit down, and there were certain individuals that were so restless because of my presence there. I just sat there and minding my own business. But, you know, they were just uptight and mumbling and looking at me and just going nuts. I got to my destination, got off, and I remember that. But, saints, we are the children of the light. This is our lot. This is who we are. And we need to accept it and quit rejecting Elohim. Quit rejecting the love that you need, the love that you have prayed for so many years. Now this love is being answered, and you're like, I didn't want it that way. I don't think you had that. That's how we react. That's how the flesh reacts. That's our will. Messiah, even in the garden, had to deal with his will. So that he had to overcome himself. And his words that truly, truly, truly broke through. And it truly gave him the strength to bear the joy that was set before him. When he truly said the words, not my will, but your will, Father. How many times he testified among all those when he walked amongst the people? What you see me do, as I see my Father. I've not come to do my will, but the will of the Father. Many times spoke this. Pharisees, Sadducees, and all around those people gathered at the time heard that testimony. And that testimony was sealed. Not my will, but your will be done. But he was proving what is acceptable unto Yah. He walked this earth in provocation. He provoked the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the religious realm of that time. So it's the same today. As children of the light, let us walk in the light. Be witnesses, true witnesses. Proving is acceptable unto Yah. Our acceptable service. And it says, in this proving, have no fellowship with the unfruitful. There we go. We had fruit before. Now it's talking about unfruitful. You know, when we take this word slow, you know, and when it's a good, you know, top steak, and it's moist, and it's juicy, and it's very flavorful. We take our time cutting it piece by piece, putting it in our mouth. We chew, and we chew, and we chew, and we chew, and we're like, wow, this tastes so good. And get into a place where I taste and see that Yah is good. Mm. Take, eat. This is my body. Say, I give it. Are you giving yourself? Love one another as I have loved you. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. But it says, have no fellowship. Fellow is envy your fellow. Jealousy your fellow. Anger. Bitterness. Think about it. Sit back and take a look at yourself. Examine yourself at any time, any hour of the day. Examine yourself whether you'd be in the faith at that moment. When certain situations arise, you get in arguments, get in altercations, you get into these various fellowships. We're on a journey. I don't think any of us need to get on the ship of envy and the ship of jealousy and go sailing. You really look at it, you know, how many fellows are on that ship? Many times, you know, even here amongst the times of the community, there have been some that rise up and would be vipers. It's amazing these vipers know which ears to speak into. These vipers watch the posture of many. Because an envious viper, knowing his own posture, he can discern the posture of another envious person. And he knows he can have fellowship with that person. And they can have communion. They can break bread. And they go off on a journey together. They go off on the high seas. It's amazing each and every day how our thoughts guide our feet. And taking the battle to the gate to start understanding these words which frame our worlds. It don't take much word to frame a world of envy and a world of bitterness and a world of hatred. The things get introduced to us by thought. The word says, do we take into captivity every thought and every imagination and start looking at them and start grilling them? Start proving them. All right, what is your purpose here? What is your desire of gain? Are you fruitful or unfruitful? What is the end of your conversation? That's the way we need to start taking every thought and everything that enters into our mind. We are children of light. And we should be able to see these things by the light of the word. If peradventure we have received the word, we have gotten the word into our hearts and into our minds, and we start looking with our real eyes and our real ears. But no, my real eyes is what I hear in my eye socket and my ears right here on my head. No, that they're temporal. And as time goes on, they perish. So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You mean darkness is very unfruitful? Yes. Sometimes darkness can be just plain ignorant or ignorance. And the word says, there be some that would love to be willingly. Man, that is astounding when you're willingly ignorant. Do you know that brings on a steeper judgment? You can be ignorant, and Yah will have mercy on you, and peradventure he'll give you a place of repentance to get you out of that darkness. But is there a place of repentance when you're willingly ignorant? When you purpose to not know, when you purpose to be stupid on demand, and you walk in that darkness, and you think darkness is covering you, and you think, oh, the Most High won't see me now because I'm hid. I went in and made clothing for myself. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We'll get back to that. We'll take a little break here. Saints of the Most High Yah. Hallelujah.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift offering, or letter of support is Straightway Truth Ministry, 544 West Main Street, number 241, Gallatin, Tennessee, 37066. Gallatin is spelled G-A-L-L-A-T-I-N. Again, our mailing address is Straightway Truth Ministry, 544 West Main Street, number 241, Gallatin, Tennessee, 37066. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway, and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. That's spelled straightway.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Oh, hallelujah, great and precious promises. And today, he is closer than yesterday. Definitely, the King is coming. No fellowship. That is a good thought. Each and every time we're dealing with a lot of things, what am I fellowshipping with? Is it going to be fruitful or unfruitful? But the Word commands us to have no fellowship with anything of darkness, these works. And then we got to look in ourselves first. Judgment comes first at the house of Yah. But when they present themselves, it is there for us, tell us to reprove them. Reprove means to convict. You refute, you confute, you prove to be wrong. With a suggestion of shame, when these things are there to bring you to shame, why don't you turn the tables and shame them instead of receiving their shame that they're trying to put on you so that you can have fellowship with them? You don't need their shame. As a child of light, if you truly see what's going on at that moment, at that time, at that hour, when there is a place of reproving, reprove. Prove? Prove all things. Prove how many things? All. Prove it. Prove it. Bring it. Bring it into judgment. Screen it. Judge it. Prove all things. And you hold fast, you just grab, you just cleave to that which is good. Because the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Oh! What is good for Yah? What is good for the new man? What is good for my brother and my sister? What is good for the family of Yah? Prove! And these things coming to come against all that, then you reprove. You bring them. You bring them the truth in righteousness. You speak the word. Not your words, but you speak the word. And you reprove them, telling them of their unlawful deeds, their unlawful ways. Let them know I see you. I see what the end of your work is. I am not going to receive you. I rebuke you in the name of Yeshua. Yeah, you submit yourself unto Yah first. And when you submit yourself unto Yah, when you walk in his statutes, his precepts, his prescribed ways, that's when you submit unto him. He tells you how to deal with the wicked one. And when you do it according to his word, then you come under his covering. You come under his protection. And then when you are covered by him, demons flee because they know the greater one that is in you. They see that light. That light reproves them because you remind them of their judgment. You remind them of their damnation. You tell them of their works. You don't let them bring no guilt upon you, no shame, and no condemnation. Because these three realms, that's what they're bringing it. They're bringing it. They're bringing it to your mind in a thought, in a memory. Peradventure, you will cleave and eat of that fruit, of that tree that's forbidden. Now, you're in fellowship with darkness, where there is no fruit. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no long-suffering. There's no meekness. There's no temperance. When they want to come and chum with you, say, I'm your friend. You say, hell no, you ain't my fellow. I ain't chipping off with you. Hell no. You need to reprove them. You prove them to be wrong. You bring them to shame. You convict them because they are the ones that are damned. You're not damned. You find fault with them when they're trying to find fault with you. No, you remind them their fault. Because Yah is here to convict us, not condemn us. They're here to condemn us. If you could just hear, child of light, their speech, their words. But rather, reprove them. And the next verse is very, very profound. Because it tells you first, you reprove them. But if you jump the reproving and you go to a place to where you start speaking of those things which are done of them in secret, then you enter into a place of shame. You put yourself in a place of guilt, shame, and condemnation. Well, how do you say that, teacher? It says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But you know, you're commanded to reprove them. No, you take care of that first, and then there will be no need for you to speak of anything of them done in the secret. You don't want to be in that place of shame. We do that with one another. Rather than open rebuke, we go back behind each other's back and talk of the darknesses we see in each other. We don't love each other one first and go to the place where Yah says, reprove the works of darkness. And then it's when these vipers enter in, and they start speaking, you see that, start speaking of those things which done of them in secret. And start foaming out their own shame. Foaming out shame. Because they don't want to walk in the light. They don't want to reprove darkness. What the word is telling us here, you do this first. You don't have no fellowship. When this comes to your door, you reprove it. Now we want to go to the realm of the backbiting and the tail bearing and such like. For it is a shame even to speak of those speak of those things which are done of them in secret. When we are there first, we got to set things in order first. It's in our power first when these things are at our doorstep to reprove them, to keep us from this shame. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved. You going to prove that which is acceptable? Perfect will of you? We got to do that with ourselves first. Prove yourselves. Then maybe for peradventure you can prove your brother and your sister. You see them doing something contrary that's something that will bring them to destruction. You go to them secretly and reprove that work that's going on in them, or are you just going to go to another brother and say, yeah, man. The children of light do that which is right. We keep all things out in the open. Why do we do that? Because we're in the light. We know we're open and naked before him. We can't hide nothing from him. We don't need to walk in shadows and in darkness thinking that's going to shade us and shroud us and be a cloak for our maliciousness. Why the children of light love judgment? Because everything they receive of Yah, they know it's the love of Yah. Even if it's a heavy rebuke and heavy reproof, it's the love of Yah. Help that brother, that sister, bend that knee and to get that which is contrary to them out of them so they can walk again in a greater newness of life, that they can go on unto perfection, that this will mature them, that this will make the fruit even much more sweeter, that they can get the rottenness out of their being so that they don't rotten others and defile others. But all things that are reproved, whatever must be reproved, are made manifest by the light. Oh, here you are, child of Yah, witness of Elohim. Your daily walk and talk. You don't even have to speak with your mouth, but how you carry yourself should be a rebuke to those that are ungodly, to those that are unclean, those that are unholy and unrighteous. At the end of the day, goats, sheep, goats, sheep. So I didn't tell Peter, feed my goats. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed? Feed? What food? What food shall they eat of? What food shall come out of my mouth? What shall I speak? What shall I preach? What shall I teach to nourish my brother and my sister? But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. In the beginning, Yah said, let there be light. In your beginning, light came. Whatsoever does make manifest, whatever does make known is light. Darkness can't manifest nothing. Where it says darkness can't even comprehend the light. Why, you see the darkness go crazy when light's around. It's like roaches. Turn the light switch on, they got to scurry. They got to go hide in the dark. But the people of Yah should not be scurrying to dark places when the word and the light of love is being shown. Reproof and rebuke and admonishing is going forth. And this is manifest the children of light. Verse 14, wherefore, he says, awake you that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ, Messiah, shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. When you walk, you watch your all points of vision. It's a 360 watch. You watch your six. You watch your back. You watch every point. As if you're upright, you're able to look in all directions. But if you're on all fours, you're walking in envy, walking in jealousy, walking in hatred, walking as a beast, on all fours. Letting this natural world feed you. See then, see. How are we going to see ya? Well, light is going to help you to see. The reason, you know, it's dark out right now. And I'm in a room that I turn on a switch and light is here. And I can see everything in this room. But if I turn this switch off, everything's dark. But I keep the light of Yah's word continually in the house on. I could see. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once was in darkness. Now Yah says, I am light, so I will embrace that. That is my testimony day by day, but that should be your testimony. So then, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. There's a lot of things we say and a lot of actions we do. Our mouth don't speak it, but our actions say, there's no Elohim. But as wise. We've redeemed the time. Because the days are evil. Our saints of the Most High Yah, I pray, my hope, all of us that are here and ministering in this vineyard, in this field, whether it be a teacher, preacher, pastor, called of Yah, elder, know that we are not here for ourselves. Many of us have died unto ourselves. And we have found true life, real life. And this is the reason why we are able to water you. As we have been watered, we water you. What is poured into us, we pour into you. This world out there, they can't pour into one another. All they can do is take. They can't give. And such were some of us when we were sometimes in darkness. And I thank y'all, you know, as this is a contrast and a backdrop reminding us where we come from. I think it's a great testimony that stays with us. That the testimony is truly going to speak in that hour and in that time, that's really going to allow the real us to speak. The true man that is in us, the new man, will actually speak. It will not be prescripted, not be prescribed, not be rehearsed. But the testimony will be made known, and the gavel of Yah and the judgment of Yah will stand sure, because the witness says have went forth and truth has prevailed. Oh, hallelujah, 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 saints of the Most High Yah. We here, but only for a short time. We're passing through. We're ambassadors for Yah. Not for ourselves. This is our lot. We got to get home. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Josh, again, for posting all the scriptures. Thank everyone for their prayers, for their financial support for other ministry. Yah has provided much for his word to get out. You know, money is a small thing for him, but He has provided, and we thank you for your free will offerings, your offerings of love that you know you're giving to Yah. You don't have no guilt, shame, and condemnation for giving it, because you know you're being clothed, you're being sheltered, you're being fed, and you have conjugal rights. For Yah is providing all your needs according to his riches and glory, because you're a child of light, child of the King. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. This is who we are, and this will get us home. So saints of the Most High Yah, endure hardness as a good soldier. Hallelujah. Suffer for righteousness' sake. It's a good thing. I'm getting home. This is our lamp and our light for our feet to walk in. We'll walk upright. Our eyes are on the prize every day. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.